You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here on this Friday edition heading into the weekend. There is a good amount to discuss on today's show. The coaching carousel continues to spin in college football. I'll update you on that here in the first segment. Could it have some kind of impact on what Tennessee's coaching staff looks like this upcoming season? Currently, Tennessee's staff is full, but as I've discussed earlier in the week, changes could occur. And with other moves in the SEC, I think that's kind of a reminder. So I'll get to that in the first segment. There continues to be talk of what could happen with T. Martin, as his name has been connected to a number of schools. I'll get to all of that in the first segment of today's show. Tennessee's basketball continues its road trip this week. The Vols will play in Gainesville against Florida at 6 o'clock on Saturday. In segment number two, Grant Ramey of GoVols247.com will stop by to talk about that upcoming game, as he'll be covering the game down in Gainesville. And then in the third segment of today's show, recruiting heats back up. The dead period is over. Tennessee is hosting prospects this weekend with a few weeks to go before the February signing day. I'll look at where things stand and go over a few of the top targets for Tennessee to close out this 2019 class. That's all right here on Locked On Vols. Your team every day available on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, your smart speaker at home, pretty much anywhere you get your podcasts. You can find Locked On Vols. So there were more coaching moves in the SEC on Thursday, and there were moves and then non-moves, I guess I should say. A non-move would be that Eddie Grant is staying at Kentucky, and I think there is a dispute out there kind of whether an offer was actually made by Georgia, but Eddie Grant's name had been connected to the offensive coordinator position at Georgia, which is vacant because Jim Chaney took the job at Tennessee. So it's not really known if Eddie Grant received an offer from Georgia, but he did tweet out that he's staying at Kentucky, so we do know that part. Seth Emerson of The Athletic at least questioned whether an offer was made by Georgia, and Seth does a great job covering the Bulldogs program. We do know that Alabama is looking for even more assistant coaches, as wide receivers coach Josh Gattis left to become the offensive coordinator at Michigan. So Alabama, having lost Brent Key, the offensive line coach to Georgia Tech, Mike Locksley, who left as offense coordinator to become the head coach at Maryland, and now Josh Gattis leaving to go to Michigan, leaves three offensive vacancies. Sam Pittman's name has been connected to the Alabama offensive line coach position, but it's also expected that Pittman is going to stay at Georgia. That was written by DogNation.com just a couple of days ago, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution site. So right now, Sam Pittman is expected to stay at Georgia. What will Alabama do with its offensive line position is a question. Dan Enos is expected to be the offense coordinator to replace Mike Locksley, so that's not really in question. But Alabama looking for a wide receivers coach. Well, a name I mentioned there a moment ago, T. Martin is a wide receivers coach. Could he be in play there? T.'s name has been mentioned with Miami, either with the offensive coordinator position, or could there be some kind of co-coordinator opportunity, because Major Applewhite has also been strongly connected to Miami's offensive coordinator position as well. T. Martin could have a number of options as his name continues to be connected to Tennessee as well. So as this carousel spins and other schools are looking to make hires, and Tennessee has coaches who could have opportunities elsewhere as well, there is a pretty big unknown right now with what's going to happen with a few of those schools. Georgia, with its offense coordinator position. Remember, Georgia could promote from within with James Coley and hire somebody else. They could go with co-coordinators. Schools have flexibility in what they could do. So could Alabama, by the way, with promoting Dan Enos. Alabama could have some kind of co-coordinator opportunity, which could mean more money as well. That's when you see co-coordinator, what you're also probably going to see is some kind of pay increase for that coach. That's something that can help. With title comes extra money a lot of the time. And with Tennessee, titles are to be determined. Jeremy Pruitt has not made it clear whether Jim Chaney is the quarterback's coach or not, which means there is still a chance for change with Tennessee's coaching staff. Now, when I mentioned money, something I brought up on Thursday's show is that Philip Fulmer, serving as athletic director, has provided Jeremy Pruitt with pretty much everything he needs to be successful at Tennessee, especially when it comes to money. And Jeremy Pruitt acknowledged that. When he talked to Jimmy Himes on the Sports Animal in Knoxville, he was asked about what helped get Jim Chaney to leave Georgia, a great position right now, to Tennessee, which is rebuilding, and listen to Jeremy Pruitt's answer.
Well, I think it's a testament to the history of Tennessee football. Jim's had experience here. He understands the capabilities of this program and the direction that we're headed. I think it just says a lot about our administration, the willingness to give us the resources to go hire the best guy in the country. And I think he's excited about working with the guys on our staff.
Jeremy Pruitt has received the resources, which is so important. When you look at schools like Alabama and Georgia and Miami and other power conference schools that have openings and are looking to put together coaching staffs, you have to be ready to spend. And I do think we kind of get numb to the numbers at this point. With Jim Chaney making $1.5 million this upcoming season and the financial commitment from Tennessee being $5.3 million to get Jim Chaney away from Georgia, I mean, that is a lot. That is a lot. But that is the price of doing business, and business in college football and major college athletics is pretty wild and almost bizarre if you think about where things were just 10 to 15 years ago. But as money continues to pour into college football, money continues to be spent as well. So Tennessee has made a commitment to Jim Chaney. And right now, I think Jeremy Pruitt has to feel really good about his coaching staff. And if you're a Tennessee fan and you're looking at Georgia and Alabama trying to make hires and put together their offensive staffs again, there's a question out there, could Butch Jones stay at Alabama, by the way, with him having been connected to Maryland, but Alabama with three offensive openings. Well, could Butch Jones and or T. Martin be in play with Alabama's football program? That's something to watch as well. I would say pretty confidently that Butch Jones will not be joining Tennessee staff this offseason. I don't think that's in play. So what happens over the next few days will be a big focus as schools also turn their attention back to recruiting. I'll get to one of the top prospects visiting Tennessee this upcoming weekend in the third segment, but he is connected to Tosh Lapoy, who is Alabama's defensive coordinator, and there have been questions, could he leave Alabama? Could Georgia be a possibility? As Georgia not only has to make a hire to replace Jim Chaney, but Georgia has to replace defensive coordinator Mel Tucker, who left to become the head coach at Colorado. So it is a busy time. It's an active time out there on the coaching market. It has been a very good time for Tennessee's basketball team. The Vols picked up an impressive road win at Missouri on Tuesday night, winning that game by 24 points. Tennessee has won its first two SEC games by a combined 70 points. Yeah, pretty good start for the Vols in SEC play. They head back out on the road on Saturday to take on the Florida Gators. Coming up on Locked On Vols, I'll talk to Grant Ramey about that game coming up and the way that Tennessee has played this week, the improvement of just about everybody on Tennessee's roster. That's coming up. As I remind you, if you ever want to send me any questions or comments for the show, please reach out at Josh_Ward on Twitter and Facebook.com/Josh Ward. There are a number of ways to reach me, but I'd say social media is probably the best way to send questions in to the podcast. Thanks to everybody who has done so far. I'll work in another mailbag at least once next week on the show. So at Josh_Ward on Twitter, follow and send me any questions there, and on Facebook, Facebook.com/Josh Ward. I want to welcome to the show now Grant Ramey, covering Tennessee basketball for GoVols247.com. Grant, thanks so much for the time. And you were there in Columbia, Missouri the other night watching Tennessee get a 24-point win. So what have you thought seeing that performance and then the way that Tennessee beat Georgia 96-50 this past weekend? It's been quite a week to start out SEC play.
It's pretty crazy the way they've not only taken care of business, but have really just kind of dismantled teams, just kind of dissected them, taken them apart, stopped them. One of the questions kind of going into SEC play was, could they be better defensively? I think we talked about that last week. Lamonte Turner's back now. We talked about how him coming back could help them be better at guard, pressuring the perimeter. Well, they gave up 50 points against Georgia Saturday at home. They held Missouri to 63 Tuesday night on the road. And winning games by 46, obviously, is insane. Being down 9 in the first half against Missouri and coming back and winning by 24, that's also that's pretty crazy, too, in a building where they traditionally, or at least the last handful of years, haven't played that well. So it's kind of crazy where they are through two games, but they kind of keep raising the bar for themselves and then crossing the bar.
Do you think that the Missouri game is at least part of the representation of this team's growth from last year to this year, and that last year Tennessee went to Missouri, and I think that was a better Missouri team, but Missouri was able to make the game kind of ugly, and Tennessee in the end didn't handle it well enough and lost the game. Tennessee took the game over and rolled there in the final, 25-30 minutes. Is that an example of this team's growth from last season?
Oh, yeah, 100% an example. I went to Missouri thinking about that game last year. It was a really hard game to watch. It was just a really bad night for that Tennessee basketball team. It was kind of, I think they were 12-5 at that point after they had lost that game, and they kind of took off from there and finished the season the way they did. But you look at Tuesday night, and Grant Williams is 1-for-8 from the field. He didn't score in the first half. He had 3 fouls in the first half. He fouls out with, like, more than 6.5 minutes left. I mean, he finished the game with more fouls than he had points. I think he finished with 4 points. If you think about that and you think about what you would expect when you hear something like that, you would expect them to be in a dogfight against the Konzo Martin defense that likes to put 5 people between the basketball and the rim and make you shoot over them. When shots aren't falling, they just do something else. This team does. The way they can cut to the rim and score in transition, push the basketball. Without Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield didn't do much in the first half last night. That was fine because Kyle Alexander went for 14-17. Jordan Bowden scored 20, and he didn't even make a 3, which is pretty crazy to think for him. Jordan Bone just kind of keeps doing what he's doing, and then here comes Lamonte Turner off the bench, and he hits 3 out of 4 from the three-point line and helps them come back from that deficit. So it's a completely different team. Somehow, even though it's returned so many guys and everybody's kind of watched these guys grow up, it just feels like a completely different basketball team, a much, much better basketball team.
Grant Ramey, GoVols247.com. And yeah, Kyle Alexander has to be a part of that too. What do you think of his start to SEC play? 2 double-doubles, 17 rebounds in the game against Missouri.
He's shown flashes of this kind of play so far this season. There's just moments where he out-muscles somebody for a defensive rebound. He goes straight up and plays good defense and protects the rim, something like that. Or he goes and gets a loose ball, or he finishes with a one-hand dunk and kind of hangs on the rim a little bit. And when you see that happen, you think, man, who is this kid? But what he's done the last two games, he had 12 and 14, I believe, against Georgia, 14 rebounds. That was a new career high. And then he goes to Missouri and he's 14-17 on a night where Grant Williams struggles and they need something happening in the post. It's just, this is the kind of guy that I think Rick Barnes saw in Kyle Alexander when he signed him. He was a 3-star guy ranked in the 300s, relatively unknown out of Canada. It was known when he signed that this kid was going to be a project, and this is kind of what that project has been building towards. I don't know if this is consistently what he's going to do night in and night out, flirt with a double-double, but he's averaging 10-8. He's got 3 double-doubles now through 14 games. And it feels like this is just the tip of the iceberg. He could be one of the best NBA prospects on this roster because he's 6'11". He's got over a 7-foot wingspan. He can run the floor. He's up to 225. He's added 30 pounds while he's been at Tennessee. He's getting stronger. He's showing that. He's showing better instincts for basketball, which is a sport obviously he hasn't been playing for since basically a junior in high school. So what he's done the last couple of games has been remarkable, but it feels like it's just kind of the beginning for him.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned the NBA possibility. This is a team that's made up of a bunch of guys who are not highly touted recruits. But from a talent standpoint, NBA people probably think it's a pretty talented team, isn't it? Because stock has risen for Grant Williams, for Admiral Schofield. Kyle's getting in the mix. So from a talent standpoint, it's just shown, I guess. It's more it's talent that has blossomed that wasn't really seen in the high school ranks.
Yeah, it's player development. It's the credit goes to this coaching staff and the credit goes to these players. for putting in the work. This staff has put together a roster that fits really well on the floor, that fits really well off the floor. It's a tight group, and they like to spend a lot of time together working on their game, obviously, over the offseason. They wouldn't be this good of a basketball team if they didn't put in the time. And through the fall, there were NBA franchises that were stopping by Pratt Pavilion. The Warriors, the Spurs, the Mavericks, the Thunder, those were the teams off the top of my head that went by. And yeah, these are a bunch of three-star or lowly rated four-star guys that have developed their talent into what it is. And now it feels like they need to have a pro day in the spring because Admiral Schofield's obviously on NBA radars. Grant Williams is on NBA radars. Alexander could be a guy that sits on an NBA bench and has a long career just based on his skill set and what he can do. So the ground they've covered just in a couple of years with this basketball program is pretty insane.
Yeah, you're right. Final item here for you, Grant. Tennessee continues its road trip this week, starting Columbia, Missouri, now Gainesville on Saturday. Big game against the Gators. What do you think about this matchup for Tennessee going down to Florida with a chance to get to 3-0 in the SEC?
It feels weird after they've played two games and the margin of victory is 70 to say that they're going to get another test, but this is going to be another test. This is a Saturday 6 o'clock game on ESPN. I'm sure when you're the number three team in the country, you're going to go into a lot of hostile gyms, and you're going to get the best game out of your opponent. Well, this Florida team obviously has talent because Mike White can recruit, but it's also a Florida team that has struggled. They started out ranked in the preseason polls, if I'm not mistaken, and they've lost a handful of games since then. They lost to a 5-7 South Carolina team on Saturday to open SEC play. It's a busy week. It's been a tough week already for them. And for Tennessee, it's just a matter of can they keep kind of doing what they do? Can they go on the road again, handle their business the way they handled it? Because that's just kind of what they keep doing. They keep playing basketball at a really high efficiency on the offensive end, and right now the defense is clicking. And we'll see if this team has a night off. It would feel like the first night off they've had all season. So we'll see what happens, but it's another tough test for a team that keeps passing those tests.
Follow Grant's coverage at govols247.com. Follow him on Twitter at Grant Ramey. Grant, safe travels. Appreciate the time. We'll talk here again soon.
Thanks for having me, Josh.
So it's a 6 o'clock tip-off on ESPN on Saturday, Tennessee playing in Gainesville. And a couple of notes for you on the Gators. As Grant talked about, the season to this point, I would say, has been disappointing with Florida being 9-5 going into the game. The Gators beat Arkansas the other night. They played on Wednesday after losing to South Carolina to open up SEC play. Florida is a team that's capable of playing well. The numbers, the metrics, are still kind of in Florida's favor. KenPom.com has Florida as the number 21 team in the country. The record just doesn't back that up. But Florida played Butler at the end of December, and Butler's a quality team. Florida won 77-43, so it's capable of playing really well. It only lost to Michigan State, which is a high-level team, by only 4 points. That was a game that came down to the wire, but it also lost by 21 to Florida State to open up the season. Its losses elsewhere by 5 to Oklahoma. They've actually played Butler twice, lost the first time by 7, and then turned around and beat Butler by 34 points. So Florida's capable of playing well. Florida also has a win on a neutral court against West Virginia. So Florida can be a good team, and I'm sure it's going to be motivated to play well against Tennessee. The Vols need to be ready for that. And Florida has been effective on the defensive end. Opponents' field goal percentage, not very high, and Florida has been able to force turnovers. So the guards for Tennessee have played really well. They'll need to play well again, move the ball on Saturday. If Tennessee plays its game, if Tennessee is effective with what it wants to do, then it should get out of Gainesville with a win and has a really good chance to. But if Tennessee has some issues, Florida can make this a game. It should be a good one, I think. 6 o'clock ESPN on Saturday, Tennessee down there in Gainesville taking on the Gators. Coming up here on Locked On Vols, an update on some of the top targets that Tennessee is going after here with just a few weeks to go to close out the 2019 recruiting class and a couple of big targets on campus on the defensive side for Tennessee this weekend. I'll tell you about them coming up on Locked On Vols, your team every day. And every day the show is available on Apple Podcasts. If you have time to rate and review the show, please do so. It's a big help to the podcast. It's available everywhere. Google, Spotify, the third-party apps out there, Overcast and Stitcher. You can listen pretty much anywhere you get your podcasts to Locked On Vols. So as I repeat myself at this point on the podcast, the next few weeks will very much be focused on recruiting for Jeremy Pruitt and his coaching staff. And that was, I think, the case in the first few weeks of December. I think that's one reason that Tennessee's offensive coordinator search took as long as it did, is that in December, Jeremy Pruitt was focused on closing out the early signing period, and they had some success with that, with adding Eric Gray and adding Quavaris Crouch to the class. And Tennessee would love to add some other big-name players. One of those players is linebacker Henry Tuoto from De La Salle High School in California. He is on campus this weekend on an official visit. Tennessee is probably battling Alabama for Tuoto. You've had West Coast schools, Oregon and Washington, that have been in the picture, but he is the player I mentioned earlier who is so connected to Tosh Lapoy, Alabama's defensive coordinator, who went to De La Salle. Tennessee has Kevin Simon on staff, and he went to De La Salle High School, and that helps Tennessee with the connection there. And Lapoy's status at Alabama could have some kind of impact, but I think the Crimson Tide would be the team to beat for Tuoto. Tennessee's going to make it very clear that it needs help at linebacker. Tennessee, I think, lacked speed and playmaking there at the position last year. Corte Sapp has turned pro. Tennessee did land Quavaris Crouch, which helps, but remember, Tennessee also lost the commitment from junior college linebacker Lakia Henry. So Tennessee's pitch will include the need for help and the opportunity to help Tennessee right away. Early playing time is a pitch. Tennessee also needs help on the defensive line, and one of Tennessee's commitments will be on campus this weekend. Tennessee has two committed players, two unsigned committed players, Ladarius Cox and Anthony Harris, an athlete, defensive back from Havelock, North Carolina. Ladarius Cox will be on campus this weekend for his visit, as he has other schools showing interest, and they will be recruiting him over the next few weeks. So as Tennessee looks to close out the class with more defensive line help, Ladarius Cox, a Tennessee commitment with options, is on campus this weekend. And then when you look at targets that Tennessee will pursue over the next few weeks, Tennessee does need defensive line help. Earlier this week, Charles Moore decommitted from Mississippi State, and the Bulldogs remain in play. Other schools will be as well. But Tennessee is in the picture there, and if Tennessee makes a hard push, then Tennessee, I think, has a good chance, at least, of landing Charles Moore, a defensive tackle in the 2019 class. No doubt the top target on the board for Tennessee is offensive lineman Darnell Wright, and a number of schools continue to recruit him, and I think Darnell Wright continues to lean very heavily to Tennessee. He's from Huntington, West Virginia, and West Virginia is going to push. North Carolina has recruited Wright. Georgia and Alabama have been in the picture, but I think everybody who covers recruiting talks about Darnell Wright as if he's already a Tennessee commitment. Right now, the expectation is he signs with Tennessee. And things can always change in recruiting, and schools are not going to give up. So that's why you never say never. But right now, it would be very surprising if Tennessee does not land offensive lineman Darnell Wright, and he would really make this a strong class on the offensive line if you take the four signees and add Darnell Wright to that group. Another player who's very important, as I get back to linebacker, Chris Russell from Dyersburg, Tennessee, is a player that Tennessee is recruiting. He will be on campus this month, and the Vols are going to battle several SEC schools, Texas A&M, Auburn, Arkansas. They're all in play for Chris Russell. There's another case where Tennessee will offer the opportunity to stay in state and play right away for a big-time program at Tennessee. But other SEC schools are calling as well. They're going to be tough battles for a lot of these players, for Charles Moore, for Chris Russell, certainly for Henry Tuoto. And Tennessee will probably look for some defensive back help as well. So a player like Travis Jay, who is committed to Florida State, will be somebody worth paying attention to. Jamie Robinson is a player Tennessee has recruited. And there will be other names that pop up over the next few weeks. And coaching changes will have an effect on what prospects think between now and February 6th, when the next signing day comes up. So prospects on campus this weekend, linebacker Henry Tuoto and defensive lineman Ladarius Cox. You'll also have 2020 prospects visiting Tennessee over the next couple of weeks. It will be a busy time on the recruiting trail, and I'll be covering it. If there's news over the weekend in recruiting, I'll have it for you on Monday. React to the Tennessee-Florida game on Saturday, and there will probably be some coaching updates as well. Thanks so much for hanging out here today on Locked On Vols. I hope you have a great weekend. Remember, reach out anytime on Twitter at Josh_Ward and Facebook.com/Josh Ward. I'll see you right back here on Monday.